Yes, I was just encouraged before by Liz. I don't see her. But this is it. Yeah, when before she was sharing her testimony, she was saying that she learned that there is a need to be more close to God. Thank you for sharing that. I really do believe the same, that the more we are close to God, things happen. Things really happen. God is still able today to do beyond what we think or imagine. So it's good to see you, to be back. Thank you, Gordon, for the invitation. Thank you also for Paul. He's a great host. Thank you. It's not to puff you up, but we have to give glory to who wants the glory. And I've been really blessed. Thank you very much. So I would like just to share with you a little bit about what I'm doing in the Philippines, what has been my journey. Yeah, this is it. It's a little bit dark, but... So what I've done so far. Thank you, Alan. So what happened is that, first of all, I had to study the language. Tagalog is the main language in the Philippines. Although, sorry, I have to be in front of the mic. It's the main language, although there are many dialects. So what I've been doing from September until April, I've been studying the language in Manila, even though I'm based in the north of the Philippines. So this was what I've done. Then what I've done next, it's not important. No, it is. I got married. Yeah, I got married. So someone said, oh, I see you're keeping well. Well, my wife cooks well. She really does. She's a blessing. She's great. It's really a gift from God. So, yeah, let's carry on. So what I've done ministry-wise, I've been helping through seminars with the Assemblies of God pastors in the Northeastern Luzon District Council about church finance management. So I was able to help there. They have to have seminars every year in order to keep their status updated. So I've been helping in that. Then I've been engaged in some preaching. I've been helping Eli, for those who remember, you actually sending greetings to you. I've been helping him with some discipleship training in Manila, and then also with some children ministry. Tina, my wife, is a kids worker. I'm not. So she was working with sharing the good news with the kids, and I was helping more on the practical side of it. So this is it. She's on the top. She was... sharing with the kids. I help with the feeding program, and then again, I said, through seminar. So, and the last things I did was actually, because I've been studied accountancy, so I've been working for a bank for 13 years, done all my study on finances. So when I went there, they needed help with financial matters, so I've been helping with the practical stuff of it, and I've been train some local people how to do finances. Now, so what's next? That's the great things for me and my wife is that both of us, we will be able to get into full-time ministry. What I mean is that I was already, but she will be as well. At the moment, she's working as a guidance and counselor in this compound where we are. And starting April or May, we're going to move out. So it's something that it's brand new, and she will be as well full-time ministry. So it's a new challenge, but we are really so happy that we can just be full-time together serving the Lord. So where we will be in a bagabag. So I know that the name doesn't say anything. It's like for me when the first time they said in IBTI, oh, you go to Witham. Where is it? So the same is bagabag. Where is it? Well, you can see this red spot in the map is a region called Nueva Vizcaya. It's about 50 kilometers south of Santiago City. That is the city where I am actually now. And I will be about 280 kilometers north of Manila. So distance doesn't say much, but I was sharing with some of you that we don't count the distance in kilometer or miles, but there is a new way of measuring the distance is hours. They will not ask you how many kilometers is from Manila, but how many hours. So according to that, we know if a place is near or it's far. And by the way, I will be about, at the moment I am about 8 hours. So to do 330 kilometers, about 200 miles, it's about 8 hours journey. And after it will be much nearer, it will be 6.5. So that's good. So why we move there? Well, this is it's a little bit messed up, but this is a quote from a from someone who is actually a theologian that says that let every preacher take note. Amid the frustration and hardship of ministry, the most Christ-like thing to do is to stay focused on our calling. So to give thanks to God and go on preaching the gospel. So this is what we want to do. Our heart is really to preach the gospel. So we're going there to have the opportunities actually to preach the gospel. In the mission where we are now, so things have changed in these last 2 years. Has become more kind of office work. All the ministry that there were, most of them have been given to local churches. So there is not much to do ministry-wise there. So with my wife, we have been seeking the Lord, and we decided that the best things to do was to move and go somewhere where we really can preach the gospel. Everything is important, whatever we do. Preaching the gospel is not the most important thing. I'm not saying that. I've seen in those days when I was at the well, the people that are caring for those that are entering. And with their example, with their attitude, with their kindness, I'm sure that they are giving an example. And they're giving also hope for the people that are entering. It's just like to be home. I really like the well. You're doing really a great job. I really like when I'm there just to see also the people that they are there, that become friendly, and I'm sure that they also they are thinking why they do what they do. But we do what we do because we believe that God is calling us. And whatever He's calling us to do, we want just to be full on doing that. So this is the reason why. So what lies ahead, the opportunity, well, we'll be working with the Language and Culture Center Institute. So some of the things that we're going to do is translation of the Bible. Tina especially will be helping with editing for a new version of the Bible in the local language that after can be used freely to translate in the different dialect. There is the opportunity to help with dubbing Bible stories. So we take a movie, of course, with copyright. And we will be done with the local language. Then we will be working with self-sufficiency project. What it means with that is that there are many pastors that cannot be supported by church, so they have to be self-sufficient. So what we do is that we learn skills in order to help them to be self-sufficient. So I don't have picture because you won't believe it, but the picture I had about me working there, they went all lost. So it's not really a great view, looking, seeing me digging and collecting worms, etc., but this is what we do. So if this is an open door to serve the Lord, we are so glad to do it. It doesn't really matter what we do. Whatever we do, we just do for the Lord. And I think this is the attitude that all of us will have. And then we will work also with tribal groups. This is the one on top is the team. So we'll have also workshop, trainings, and also the opportunity to work with local churches. And this is just part of it. Another part that could take place, but this is not yet sure, is to work with Weekly Philippines. So, and the opportunity of to learn first and then teach in other Asian countries oral Bible storytelling. What is it? It's nothing else than we learn how to share the gospel through Bible story. So most of them, they don't know how to read or stuff like that. So we go there telling stories, biblical stories, and this is an approach and a way just to preach the gospel where it hasn't yet been preached. Now, you have some prayer point, and we have some prayer point that you own. That God may be glorified. This is what we want. Nothing else than that. We are going there because we want to see, as Malachi 1:11 says, that we want to see His name made great among the nation. Before Liz was praying about, after that song of the Rand Collective, if I'm not mistaken, they will say, let your kingdom come. Set this change the atmosphere. And this is what we need. We have sung a lot about Jesus. It's because it's Him. It's not a formula. It's not a word that we just say in order to say it, but because it's Him that has given everything so that we may have life. And not only us, so we don't want to be selfish, but we want to give freely what God has given us. Then that for the people that we're going to minister to, so there will be language barrier, culture barrier, etc., etc., then people we'll be going working with. So of course, again, for culture is a big issue. Sometimes it's hard. I found hard with my wife. I'm Italian. She's a Filipina actually. And it's hard at times to get through things because we have two different worldview. Her is not right, mine is not right. And her is not wrong, and mine is not wrong. It's just, we're different. And finally, we just pray that you will help us. It's not sin, but I can tell you, it's help. Pray for us for this cultural adjustment and for the challenges that are lying ahead. So this is briefly what we're going to do. So many changes, things that were not expected, but God is in control. This is what brings us forth, is just knowing that no matter what is the situation, He is in control. So with this one, I would close also because I asked Gordon before how long a time I have. He gave a time in minutes, and then he said, or else if everyone goes out. So in order to stick both with the time and also that people will not start to leave the auditorium, so I just try to be a little bit, not quicker, but I will share with you what really is on my heart. So can I ask you please to go? Yes, thank you. So we're going to look at the message that I've been impressed on my heart. It's something that already, again, sorry if I'm mentioning you again, but it's your fault. You preach part of my message, so now I have to mention you several times. So before, we were a few of us downstairs praying in the cafeteria. And again, Sister Liz, she was just praying about the songs. And she was saying that the words that we sing may be relevant to us. She didn't say actually this word, but this one was the concept. That the word that we sing may be relevant. Many times as a Christian, I pick up on myself, not on Sister Liz now, just on myself. Sometimes I say things, or I can see in the words, my head is way off. I don't know if it happens to you. We just sing the song because we memorize them, but we are not actually focusing on the words. This song of the Rent Collectives, I knew it already. It's a couple of years that it is around. But just today, I just decided, I said, Lord, I just want to focus on what we are singing. So I just give my full attention. And for the first time, I was actually reading what are the chorus and the words of that song. And I was just thinking, oh my, it's really true that it's important that the atmosphere will change. I was thinking about my nation. Now it's the Philippines, but also Switzerland, Italy, England. How much we need that God will change the atmosphere. And yet, so many times, going back to what we were saying is that we use words, but our hearts is not there. So that's why my message is starting with what normally we say at the end. God bless you, right? This is what we say at the end. We maybe shake the hands, we say God bless you. But I was thinking the other day, what does it mean to bless? What is it? We just say amen so many times. God bless you, bless you, God bless you. Also, when I went I was in Victoria on Friday waiting for the coach to come here and I gave the change. Oh, bless you. It was the lady selling sandwiches in Victoria Station. So I was thinking how easy we use words. How easy we don't put weight. So one of the things that we... Sorry, you won. This is one of the things that we say, bless you. Right? So someone is sneezing, we just say, bless you. Without actually thinking about the word blessing, but we just say bless you because it's in our culture that if ever someone sneezes, it's polite to say bless you. Or another one is if you see something cute, you say, oh, bless him, right? So I choose a puppy and not a kid, but doesn't really matter. You know what I mean. We use these words that are so important and that sometimes we can give, we just focus on how to say that they just become routine. They just become normal. I like before the song that has been sung about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not just a name, but it's the name above all name. If you are here today, it's because of Him. If we live and we exist, it's because of Him. It's not a name, it's the name. That's very important. So according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it's a blessing is an act or words of the one that blesses, so someone who gives an encouragement or approval, a things conducive to happiness and welfare, and then also another way is grace, say that meal. So this is what is blessing according to the dictionary. But how many times the Bible speaks about blessing? So the different way of saying blessing, it's about more than 450 times in the Bible, starting from Genesis up to Revelation. Almost in every book, there is the mention of blessing. So if it is that the case, as it is, most probably there is something very important in the blessing. So this is in Genesis 12:2, is one of the first time that is mentioned the word blessing. Actually, it started already in the chapter 1, but I took this one because after I will tell you. And this verse says, and I will make of you, this is God speaking to Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So I will bless you, not just for the sake of it, not just because you will be blessed, but because by blessing you, you will be a blessing to many. So I'm blessed to bless others. I'm not blessed just for the sake of myself, but I'm blessed to bless others. And the Bible says that many times the things that are happening to us are not just happening by chance, but because in the future we may be able to lift up those that are in the same position. And the same is with the testimony. Why is important is a blessing when we share testimonies. Again, I was blessed before by Sister Liz when she was sharing the testimony because I was thinking, God, if you've done it for her, you can just stand for all of us. If you've been faithful to her, you are reminding me that you will be faithful to me. That's the power of testimony. That's why we encourage people to share their testimony. Testimony, nothing else to say, look, if God has done this for me, he can do it for you. God doesn't make preference. God doesn't make this distinction as we do. Oh, I like more him than her. Oh, that sister cooked better than the other. We do differences, but God doesn't. We are all on the same level. If someone is blessed more, it's not because he's better. But most probably this is something behind. So we're going to look now that... which one I want... Ah, well, you cannot see the picture. Well, there was a picture there saying which one you want to be. So there was a... I don't know why it's all messed up. But anyway, there was a picture about a comparison with the Red Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. And we know that the Dead Sea is dead. Well, that's the name it has. It's not by chance that he has the name. It's because he allowed water to come in, but doesn't have any way to let the water go out. So that's why there is a great deal of salt in it, and nothing can live in it. So this is how we can be. We can be like the Mediterranean Sea, that is, as fishes in it, or lives in it, or we can be dead. So it's up to us what we do in our life. So which one we want to be? Now, the text that we're going to use is this one. We're going to look through this text quickly. And this is what he said. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Genesis 39:21. So we know the story. Just to give a little bit of background, Joseph was the son of... Jacob, he was loved by his father. His father gave him a coat, a special coat, so a special garment, maybe a nice suit would be today, I don't know. But the thing is that he was preferred by the father. And on top of that, God spoke to him through dreams. And he shared his dream with his brother, and his brother were not really happy because the dream was about him becoming greater than them. So out of jealousy, just to cut in the story short, they decided to get rid of him. That's how we solve problems sometimes. We have a problem, we just try to get rid of him. No, we don't. But what I mean is that what they try is that they sell him. They sold him, actually. And then this fellow finished in Egypt. He's ended up to be in the palace of Potiphar. So has been sold by the brother, has become a slave, and he ended up in prison. So quite a nice plot for a movie. So That's the thing. So, and in that moment, when he went to prison, the Bible tells us, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, let's focus on the first bit. The Lord was with Joseph. So that speaks about relationship. We cannot expect that God is with us if you're not with him, right? We know that God is everywhere. We know that God loves everyone. In fact, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so whoever believes in him. So it's universal, and yet it becomes personal. It's about a relationship. Like, for example, with my wife, I mean, many knows her, but I am the only one who is really a relationship with her, right? So this is the thing. It's a journey that we do with God. And how we do that? By reading the Bible. So again, Sister Liz, I know you, maybe you read before the slide. So it's by reading the Bible and meditating the scripture. So not only reading, but it's also spending time on what we're reading. So it's not important if you're reading every day two chapters of the Bible. You can also read a verse. But if on that one we just meditate, we come back and back and back again. Is there we can meditate, we can grasp the most of it. And another thing is actually praying, that this is what was saying. So reading the Bible and, of course, meditating the scripture and prayer, they always go together. And this will allow us to know more God and for God to speak to us. So little advertisement this evening, if you have time, let's go to the service at 6:30. God will speak to us. Because when we are gathered together, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together, he is in the midst of it. And things are happening. If we want to think, if we want to see things changing, we really need to seek his face. No more than that. I mean, it's very easy. Although we find sometimes complicated, but it's very, very easy. We just have to seek him. You have to know him. You have to be thirsty and hungry for him. And when we say maybe, oh, but I don't feel like to pray, or I don't feel like to read the Bible, just do it. It will come. It's like when you have a nice piece of cake, and at the beginning you say, no, I really don't want to eat it. Then you start it a little bit. The cake is gone, right? This is how it works. This is how it works. It's like with the other morning with Paul. He knows that I love really coffee. I really do. As Italian, I'm really lover of coffee. So he prepared a cafetiere, he poured the first one, then he said, oh, but if you want more, say, no, it's just one coffee at a time, it's okay, then after, maybe I will get another one at the well. So we were speaking, our breakfast lasted for about an hour and a half, and so little by little, I ended up to finish all the cafetiere. So that, at the beginning, I said, oh, I just don't feel like to drink it, but, and this is the same with God. Maybe sometimes, life gets hard on us, and we just lose focus. But God is reminding us that we have to know him, because there is the blessing. There we find our strength. Although we, as Gordon was saying, and I agree with him, it's important, the brothers and sisters, we call each other, we encourage each other, we support each other. But ultimately, we should go always to God, spending time with him. That's the solution. Secondly, well, actually, no, this is a verse in Joshua that says that this book of the law, so Joshua was about to take over the place of Moses. So Moses passed away, and Joshua was appointed as to be the leader of Israel, of the Israelites that were coming out of Egypt. This is the background. And this is that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this was an advice given to Joshua by God. So meditate the scripture, so you will have success, you will be successful. And this is also for us today. And then another one regarding prayer is here when he says, but when you pray, in Matthew 6:6, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. So prayer is not just to make a list, our wish list, like, for example, you will do for Christmas, but it's actually having a conversation with him. As we have with one another, that's the same way we have a conversation with God. And this will bring us, as we speak to one another, for example, we were updating each other with Paul, so about the different things that have happened in the last 2 years. And of course, it's by speaking that you know things. It's by having a relationship that you get to know each other more. It's by spending time together that actually we're going to know his heart and he's going to know my heart for what he's waiting for. So that's the way it is. The same is with God. So the Lord was with Joseph, and then he showed him steadfast love. So this is the immutability of God. God will always be faithful to his word. Actually, the Bible says that even though we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful because this is who he is. That's who he is. Sometimes I forget it, or we forget it. But God remains the same. Remains always the same. Faithful, good, trustworthy, just. And you can add whatever you want. So the character of God, so he cannot change. His character, I said, he cannot change. He is immutable. And this is what he says in Malachi 3:6. He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." It's because of his grace. Lamentation, it says that his mercies are new every morning. It's hard sometimes to believe that verse, especially if you know that you're facing maybe difficulties or there are challenges ahead of you. But the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. That what he has promised, he will do it. Then he said, apart from the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love, he gave him favor. So God lavishes his goodness. He's not stingy as sometimes we are. At least I am. Let us put it this way. But he lavishes his goodness. He really wants to bless people. He gave everything for us. And we know what that everything is all about. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, he didn't spare anything. He just gave his best to us. Without, the Bible says, even before we loved him, he loved us. He did everything because he loved us. He just gave the best. Sometimes we don't do that. We give not really what is the best, right? Like, for example, in Christmas, if we receive something that we don't really like it, it becomes a good gift, right? That's what we do, at least. This is what we do sometimes in Switzerland. When I was working in the bank, people were always bringing over Christmas the things that they didn't hate. Maybe they didn't like it, so they say, well, why not to bring it to the office? So it seems as if I bring something to the office to share. But this is, they were giving the leftover. God didn't give the leftover. He gave actually his best. And it's because of that, because we know all these things, we can face the future. And that's why we are blessed. That's why in his presence we are blessed. Because all of this. Psalm 124, 1-5 says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side," let Israel now say, "if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters." So if God wouldn't have been for us, how many times God has been for us? How many times? Countless times. I cannot count all of the times that God has been faithful to me. I cannot count the times that God has been faithful to my brothers and sisters. So if he has always been faithful, and he is immutable, this is what the Bible says, why shouldn't I do it again? Why shouldn't I in a position to trust him fully? And when I say something, I actually mean it. But finally, I like this, that in this verse there is also the word prison. So not only the Lord was with Joseph, show him steadfast love, gave him favor. It seems as if he's building up everything for a big momentum, and then it says, in the prison. I don't know, when I read that, it seems as if, you know, you're running, and suddenly everything stops. Or like if you're watching a game, and then suddenly the power goes off. You are almost there. Oh, he's almost scoring the goal, and then, hop, there is no electricity anymore. So, and this is the same thing with the prison. But I like it because his ways are not our ways. So, our plan, sometimes is like the first one, right? That we say, okay, the Bible says that I will go from glory to glory, that I will be successful, or God is with me. And he is. He means that. He is with me. But on the other hand, we just miss that sometimes it's not really the way we expect it, right? I don't know where is the light. Anyway, we have up and down, up and down, up. Eventually, we're going to get stronger and higher, but we have to face sometimes depth. We have to sometimes to face difficulties that we don't like. I mean, I don't know, but if I was in the position of Joseph, what I would have done in the prison? I mean, my parents have sold me. I mean, my brother have sold me. I've become a slave. I ended up in prison for something I didn't do it. It's quite hard. And yet, God was with him. So sometimes, we know this verse in Jeremiah that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." But his plans, sometimes, actually, many times, they're not really like what we expect. So we expect that everything will go, yeah, we go up, but quite smoothly, and then we find ourselves in deep valley or in difficulties. And I don't know you, but sometimes I feel like that. I don't know you, but I feel like that. This one especially in the morning for the haircut. But what I mean is that I feel like that. I feel puzzled because I said, God, if you have made a promise and you are the one who is keeping the promise, how come all these things are happening to me? How come I'm experiencing these things and maybe my faith is shaking? Why? I feel sometimes like Gideon when in Judges 6 it says that the Lord appeared to him when he was trying to hide some grain. And he says, "Oh, the Lord is with you, almighty man of valor." He was looking most probably around and say, "Who, me? If that is true, as you said, why all these things are happening? If it is true, where are the big deeds that we heard from our forefather? Where are the great things that maybe today, to be more relevant, we heard about 1904-06 in Wales? What are the things that were happening and now we cannot see them?" And sometimes we feel also like Habakkuk. Habakkuk, he starts the book in this way: "Lord, how long?" He was tired to see the things were not going the right way. He was tired to see that the land was going not in the right direction. How long? And sometimes this is the way I feel, and I'm pretty sure that most of us will feel at times. Why, Lord, these things are happening? "No, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is what the Bible says. "He makes me lay down in green pasture. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And now, this is, for me at least, one of the most beautiful verses. That's encouraging. That says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. So that is his promises. So this is the psalm that they say is the most quoted and the most sung. And yet, as this pearl in the middle of it, by saying that the circumstances will not affect his power, that even though we can experience to be into the shadow of death, in that valley, he is still there. It means that the blessing is not according to where we are in our life, because the blessing is not up to the situation, but it's up to the Creator. So that's why in everything we do, or everywhere we are in our life, even though we can experience difficulties, he remains faithful. So that's why it's important that when we think about the blessing of God, it's not just a word, but there is so much more behind that word. It's just reminding us that he has spoken well about us. And what are his plans? They will come to pass. Where are we in our life? This is something that C.S. Lewis said. "God allows us to experience the low points of life in order to teach us lessons that we could learn in no other way." And that's how it is. That's not the Bible, but there is a lot of truth in it. Sometimes we know that when we are facing difficulties, is that the moment that we turn to God with all our heart, with all our being? We just seek Him. We just turn the page of the Bible more than usual. And it's that moment that we raise up. Is something magical? No, it's not. It's the power of God. It's because in His word, as we were saying before, as Sister Liz was sharing, as we were singing, in Him there is the power. So we can face today difficulties. I know the challenges that are in my life. I don't know your challenges, but you know them. Or maybe we know the challenges that other people are facing because they are sharing prayer requests and so on. So, but this doesn't really matter at the end of the day. If we think, we are still a blessed people. I feel blessed, even though not everything is smooth and nice, but God has never promised that. But He has promised that in the shadow of death, in that valley, He will be with me. That's why I am blessed. And that's why you are blessed. Before, Gordon was saying that if today you are here, you have prayed, you know, you have a relationship with God. And that is important. It's our relationship with Him. At that point, when we have a true relationship with Him, then we can see every day as a blessing. And indeed, we can say, like in the book of Lamentation, that His blessing and His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And that's the thing. Is sometimes it can seem difficult, but it's not complicated. It's much easier than we think. It's just that sometimes we have just to step back and just realize that God is bigger than our plan. We were singing before, oh God, You are greater. Did we mean that? If you do, your situation, God is in control. If you believe that God is able to turn water into wine, in other words, to do the impossible, if you believe it, that will come to pass. Maybe not in the way you are expecting it, but something will happen. Because this is His promise. This is what God has said. And going back to Joseph, it says this in Genesis 50:20. This is Joseph that is speaking after a while to his brothers. The reason is that there was a famine. So Joseph, after being in prison, has been put second after Pharaoh. And he was the one dealing with the people to give the food during the famine that there was. And just to cut the story short, at the end, this is what he's saying. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. In other words, is that he was recognizing that his brothers have sold him. That's no good. Don't sell your brother. But on the other hand, he recognized that in all his difficulties, also when he was in prison, God was with him because he had a plan. He knows that even though he has experienced hardship, at the end of the book, we know that there is victory. We know that for a moment we can be through the valley of death when everything seems dark, but the light is coming. The Bible says that the morn can last for a night, but there are good things in the morning, right? And the same is here. He knew that his brother had sold him. I don't know I could cope with it, but this is what he said. He realized that actually God was in control of his life. That's why, again, he was blessed. So I'm blessed to bless others. And you are blessed to bless others. So just say to one another, to your neighbor, I am blessed to bless others. And more than a saying, we should do it as our lifestyle. We are blessed to bless others. Whatever God is giving us, I'm not speaking about money. Money is not the issue. Whatever God is giving us in every little detail of our life is just to share with the others, to be able to lift up someone. If someone is facing difficulties, for example, God, if God has been faithful to you that you were experiencing a sickness and God has healed you, that's a powerful story to teach, to share, actually, with those that are having the same problem. And you may be a blessing to the other. We can bless people in so many ways. Just with a laugh, just with an act of kindness, as I was sharing before in the well. Doesn't really matter what we do. It really doesn't. It just matters how we do it. So I'm blessed to bless others. So that's why when, oh, this was the picture, you see? Now there is. So you see that which one you want to be. So the Mediterranean Sea, the Red Sea or the Dead Sea? So you want to be someone who brings life and is alive, or you want to be someone who's just dead? It's just there like this? I don't know. I want to be the Mediterranean Sea. The Red Sea is normally during summer. I just get red. So I would like to be a Mediterranean Sea. But that's the thing, is that what we do with our lives, right? What do we do with that? In our difficulties, we are just shutting everyone off, or we are allowing God to work in our lives. So this is what we have to remember, and that's why going back now, completely from the beginning, I am blessed, and I really mean that. Because no matter what, God is with me. It's not to be presumptuous, or it's not to be arrogant, but what the Bible says, right? At the end of chapter 28 of Matthew, it says, it's Jesus speaking to his disciples and say, go, and I'll be with you until the end of the days. I believe that. That wherever we go, doesn't really matter if it is Philippines, Italy, with them, doesn't really matter. Because wherever we are, he is with us. That's why I'm blessed. And if I'm blessed, it's not just for me. I don't want to be a Dead Sea. It's just to bless others. With whatever I have, or I do, or I am. So this is what I wanted to share with you. So I really want, and I mean it, this verse, for all of us, that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Again, the Lord bless you and keep you.
Thank you. He set himself up, hasn't he, really, for us to pray a prayer of blessing for Giuseppe and his ministry and his wife, Tina, in the Philippines. And thank you for coming. And it's a joy, actually, to be supportive of you and to be supporting for you and to pray for you.
Thank you.
And we will keep praying.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So do you want to stand up? Just reach out your hands to Giuseppe. Let's pray a prayer of blessing. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for Giuseppe's boldness and his commitment to travel across the world to serve you in a foreign land and a different culture, language and all that. And I pray that you will bless him. Lord, you will pour out extravagant blessings on him in areas of provision with his family. Lord, what he does, Lord, we pray for Giuseppe. You'll open up areas of gifting in his life that he never imagined he had, that he could do. We pray, Lord, that you will just extend him, enlarge him, make him bigger in this mission, in the calling that he has chosen. You will bless him in every way. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for that good, positive encouragement. Let's bless one another and enjoy tea together or coffee.